It's time to redefine and align to the badass leader and mother you really are. I'm your host, Nicole Weston. I have been coaching moms for the last decade on aligning to what they truly desire so they can be present with their family, create the most successful business, all while having it all. We're going to be talking to moms all around the world who are diving into what does it mean to take care of myself? What does it mean to redefine motherhood so I can live it on my terms, so I can have it all? It's time to rise, and here's the thing. We can't do it alone. Join us as we have some of the most important conversations about how moms are taking their pain and turning it into their purpose. Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome back. I'm so happy that you are here joining me again for this week's episode on Redefine and Align. Today, we sat down with Natalie. I say we as if there's more people here with me than just me, but maybe that's because I feel like I am just, you know, here we are, all of us together in this community. So I sat down with Natalie, and Natalie was on season one, so I'm just so grateful to have her back. We went a little bit deeper this time around, and I'm just so grateful. So you already know about Natalie, so I wanted to tell you a little bit about what we talked about in this week's interview. We went really deep into what it means to disrupt the generational patterns that were passed down to us. And how that is so important for us in order to evolve. Really looking in the back, like how did we get here and what do we want to do differently? And how that shows up in how we parent as well. We really talked about the importance of self-compassion on this journey of parenthood. Natalie shares with us how the journey of trying to understand her child was actually the journey of understanding who she was, and it really led her back to herself. I absolutely love diving into what it means to be a parent to a gladiator child. And if you haven't yet looked into Connected Parenting with Jennifer Colari, she was also on season one's episode, and we talked all about what it means to build emotional resilience and how we as parents are actually our child's frontal lobe. So Natalie and I talked about how do we navigate the boundaries and the emotions that come with being the frontal lobe of our child. What does it mean to stay in that space of knowing that we are there to create and implement boundaries and show up for the emotional needs of our child and the emotional needs of ourselves? I find that area of mothering, of parenting, so key. I haven't, and I definitely will not ever have it all figured out, but I will say that I am actively partaking in practicing these principles because they seem to really create the space that we as a family are in need of. I really, really love Natalie, and so I invite you to tune into today's interview and share your feedback with us. You can rate, subscribe, and review on Apple Podcasts. I would love to hear from you. Your feedback is so important to me. I love it. I love hearing about it. I love hearing how the community is receiving our stories. So thank you to everyone who has reached out and shared. Let's keep it coming. So I wanted to share with you one of our reviews from one of our listeners. She named herself Mom. She said, "Thank you, Nicole, for providing a place where moms and moms-to-be can have honest discussions about this journey that is so very universal and unique all at the same time. Your insights and guests give your listeners an opportunity for connection and community. So much gratitude for you." Thank you, thank you. And that was another 5-star review. So thank you so much. Again, be sure to subscribe if you enjoy the conversations here. Share it with your other mamas. And I would just be so honored. If you haven't yet followed me online, you can follow me on Instagram at the Nicole Weston. And on Facebook, we have our private group for moms. It's called More Than Moms, and it's a group of women really dedicated to focusing on ourselves first and how to create the space for us to really take care of ourselves among all of the other things. And if you know a mom who has an inspiring story of how her pain led her into her purpose, please send her my way. And before we jump into today's episode, I wanted to remind you that if you are a badass leader and mother and you are ready to dive into a 3-month experience with other badass leaders, we are enrolling now and our program is going to start November 4th. So I am so excited because the women that I am talking to right now about this program, oh, honestly, every time I'm on a phone call, I am like in tears of joy and gratitude. It is going to be amazing. The one thing that I keep saying to every single mom is how important it is for us to be together. Especially doing this work over the last 8 years, the one common denominator that I hear over and over again is the connection of just how alone we all feel at times. And that is why this experience of bringing women together is so important to me. I feel like it is absolutely time to reconnect back into who we are, our divine feminine power, and come together to create that synergy of diving deeper into what it means to do less and actually have more. That seems to be the motto for the program. So if you are curious, interested, or would like to find out more, you can click the link down below and you can book a call for us to chat and even see if this is a program that's good for you. And I will share all of the details with you on that call. So without further ado, let's dive in.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for being here, Natalie. I'm so excited to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back. We had a really interesting conversation the first time, so I'm excited to continue it with you.
Yes, absolutely. And you've been up to so many incredible projects, and if I say passion projects, so tell us a little bit about that.
Oh gosh, there's so much going on. But first and final way, it's all this journey has just been so it's been deep, and it keeps on getting deeper. And this is the beauty of being on this journey. And what started out as, you know, trying to understand my child really came down to trying to understand myself and how I was parented and what I want to define as a family or how I define me being a parent, going forward, so that I can hopefully disrupt some of the generational pattern that's been happening and just give bigger options to what's possible for myself, obviously, and for my family.
I don't know if you can tell, but I am like already tearing up. I am so like, because what you said, like your first line was like, what started as a journey to understand my child turned into a journey of understanding myself. And wow. Yes.
It's been really like I've always, and then this is very typical for a lot of parents, a lot of people, just be very strategy based. Like this is the challenge, quote unquote, that's happening right now with my child or in the dynamic. And what are the strategies that I need to employ to fix, quote unquote, the challenge,
and get the result that I want? That.
Yes, exactly. So it's letting go and unlearning a lot, and then practicing a new way of being, so that you can honor, and I always say this, you honor yourself, obviously, and your child and your husband and your partner, whatever the case may be. And it's a journey. It's really taken a lot, and but it's well worth it. But what I was saying is, like, these strategies that I was looking for, they're not very sustainable,
right?
So they do help in many ways, especially if you're struggling. And they're like, if 3 to 5 years ago, you told me that this journey of parenting was about me and not my kid. I don't know if I would have even the headspace to really hear
it. Yes.
Yeah. So I was just so desperate for something to work and something to fix. Yes. And that's the case for a lot of people, because to me it's this balance mm-hmm. of the old parenting paradigm mm-hmm. and the new parenting paradigm, and how do you bridge the gap between the two?
You are speaking my language. This is like, I think I've said bridge the gap like almost every day for the last 2 weeks. I'm like, how do we bridge the gap? You know, and I think that's what a lot of us are looking at right now. A lot of systems are breaking down because we cannot continue doing it the old way. And if anything, I think you and I can agree on is that these children are coming in so evolved that it's like
they're demanding it.
Yeah, demanding it. And I like to say they're calling us forward, you know, calling us forward into discovering our true essence and our true self. And we have a choice. We either resist it, right?
Yes.
Or we lean in and access the supports that are there. And all of a sudden, we can find all the resources and the people start showing up and we start seeing these summits that individuals like yourself are putting on so that we could go, oh, like there is a different way.
Yes, absolutely. Because often when we become a parent, the biggest frame of reference for us is how we were parented.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. we might have ideas on what we'd like to do or what we don't want to do based on that.
Yeah.
But then there's this, the your blind spots, which are, you know, the things that you don't know that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from learning, unlearning, having some awareness and just opening up the conversations.
Mm. Okay. So let's go there then. So 3 to 5 years ago, you said, right? Like, I think what's important for our listeners is to kind of give us a glimpse of, okay, so like they're on that part of the bridge where they're looking to bridge the gap, that they know that what they're doing is not working. And let's say they're looking for the strategies, they're looking, because here's the thing I think is we do need to triage. You know, sometimes there are behaviors and there are skills and strategies that are going to help resolve that current situation.
Absolutely.
Right. And so in my world, I call it the presenting problem. Like, we definitely need to, or simple as a headache, right? If we have a headache, typical thing, take a Tylenol or an Advil and drink some water and get on and hustle, you know, grind, get on with your day. But then if the headache keeps happening, we could continue to look deeper and go like, maybe it's because I'm dehydrated, right? Or if you're like me, you pull out Louise Hay's book and, you know, she's all about You Can Heal Your Life. And she tells you what the potential mental and emotional thought pattern or belief that is associated with a headache. And by no means is it a medical, you know, diagnosis, but it's an awareness of, am I like devaluing myself?
Yeah. Why am I getting, like, why is this coming up? And often, you know, you are the common denominator in your life. So whether it's your kids that are quote unquote triggering you, or you feel that resistance with them. Mm. I like to use the word trigger because I think it resonates with people when they get triggered by someone, whether it's your spouse, your coworkers, whatever it is, you are the common denominator.
Right.
And that's a hard truth to look at sometimes, because people it hurts the ego, bruises the ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like to say to my clients that, awareness is, I wonder if I can say that word anymore. Let me see if I can come up with a better one. The other word that came up was like the F word. So I'm thinking, anyways, awareness, how about I say this? Awareness sucks. Like, it sucks. It sucks so bad. And I think when we pretend that it doesn't is when we can kind of get, you know, that whole bypassing of like how much it does suck. And I often preframe that when we get that awareness that potentially we are the common denominator, it's not to say that awareness is meant to blame and to keep us stuck, but it's the awareness of like, oh my gosh, I have a choice right now. And if it's me, then I have control over me. And that can be like so freeing and liberating. Powerful.
Yeah.
So powerful. So powerful. Take us through a bite-sized journey, because I think, like you said, whoever is listening, they may hear something and go, oh my gosh, that's me too.
Yeah. So to your point, it starts with awareness, right? Mm-hmm. There's the awareness and sometimes just tuning into your body as well and seeing how things are showing up in your body. So when I used to get really angry with my child, mm-hmm. I would when I started to become more aware of how this was manifesting in my body or how it was showing up, I would literally start thinking about what I was feeling in my body. Mm. So that's one way to get connected with yourself and get grounded with yourself as well in that moment. Because sometimes you're just so in your head. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be doing this. This is so disrespectful. They're being so rude. Blah, 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 blah. That you tend to get so caught up in it, and then your reactions are that. They're just a reaction to the BS that's happening in your mind, as opposed to pausing, mm-hmm. in a moment. What I'm saying is, like, I practice this every day, and sometimes I fail at practicing it. That's just the reality of it.
But that's the practice of it.
That is the practice, right? And that's that is the human design. That's what we are. We are meant to. You can have two viewpoints on this. You can either be judgmental and shameful that you failed in it, or you can learn from it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Experiences are things that you can learn from, and that's so the awareness is taking that pause, having that take that breath in, notice what's happening in your body. Remove all the shenanigans that are happening in your head, or not even remove it, just like notice them.
Notice
that you're saying these things in your head, either about your child or about yourself. Oh, I'm a failure as a parent. Oh, I can't do anything right. I can't get them out of the door. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever it is, just notice it without the judgment. That in and of itself might be enough of a practice for some people to start with.
Honestly, I think like that could be, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so that's a big, big, big part of it. And then for me, the next pillar, the next focus was the acceptance. Mm-hmm. As we know, and Eckhart Tolle says this, what you resist persists. Mm-hmm. So for me, just to start to take on that perspective that this is what's so, mm-hmm. that's it. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And it doesn't mean I, absolutely love it. It doesn't mean that it won't evolve.
Right.
But the key is, if I put that negative energy toward it, I don't like this. I don't want this to be this way. There's something wrong here. Blah, 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 blah. Those things all elicit a current of non-acceptance. So you're not accepting what's so.
Denial, 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 denial. Denial. Yes.
Yes. And this, mm-hmm. and that clouds your awareness. So just being able to be accepting of what is so, accepting of yourself, mm-hmm. especially accepting of yourself, because only what you are able to do onto yourself, you are able to create that space for others in your circle, in your family, or your spouse, or your coworkers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's important for you to accept what's so, forgive yourself. That was a big thing for me. So if I blew it, because there were times that I blew it, and there still are times where I blow it. Having that forgiveness, mm-hmm. you know what? That wasn't great. I didn't love what happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to learn from it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so just like, and then like, just move on. Stop ruminating in that shame or that guilt, because that's, or that worry, that's not going to do you any good. And that's so much easier said than done.
Oh yeah. And I think that's the biggest piece, right? So it's like, yeah, okay, easy for you to say, you know? And I think that's like, so when we talk about, you know, this new paradigm of parenting, requires, if I may say, is calling us for demanding that we do step into that space. But it is so like, so it can feel so different and almost just like so not normal to even have that level of compassion for ourselves and to see it at the beginning of this journey, you know, because I think I've been working with families for 10 years. And I think that, you know, this is that level of understanding where you get to when the kids are like in their 30s or 40s or 50s. And then it's like, okay, now I can have compassion for myself. And I think that I'm just putting this out there, right? That we're actually being called to do that now, like when the kids are young, because yeah. I think our kids are going, yes, can you show me? Can you model to me how to be compassionate, how to forgive myself? Because I am going to mess up and I need to know that you do it too. And that I'm not alone in this right now.
Absolutely. And that's the next thing that I focus on is the acknowledging your wins and your learnings and being able to communicate that and have that vulnerability with your kids and showing them, talking through the process. The other day, something happened to my daughter. My two girls were fighting with each other. Mm-hmm. And I literally said this out loud to my husband. I said, in front of the kids, and I said, you know what? I actually don't know what to do in this situation. I really don't. I wonder if anyone in this room has an idea of how to maybe help solve this problem that we keep on having. Mm-hmm. You know, here's what I see. Cool. Here are some potential, ways to solve it or ways to at least start to navigate it. What do you guys think?
Wow.
Because it's such like it was driving me nuts. Yeah. It was triggering me. And I was like, okay, I'm on a standstill and I don't have all the answers. And that's part of the vulnerability of to your point, showing this path to your kids so that they can expand in that space and they can practice in that space that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay not to know exactly what to do, even though that's what I help and I coach. I don't have all the answers and I fail at times, and that's okay.
But wouldn't you agree that as a coach, as a parent, as a facilitator of this work, I don't want to have all the answers because that would mean that I was done and I am not ready to be done.
Well, that's a good indication that you are no longer growing or expanding or evolving, like I like to say, because to me, it's a lifelong journey. Mm-hmm. So you either can adopt that mentality, that mindset, or you can not and think that but I would say that if you think that you don't need to learn anymore, that's hugely the ego that's telling you that you don't. And that you need to know all the answers, which, you know, it's not a very freeing way to be. It's a lot of pressure for you to know everything. Like it's like, no, this is where community comes in. This is where support comes in.
Mm-hmm.
This is where, you know, you can lean on one another or have the support system. This is where coaches come into play. And this is why I say, like, even though I'm a coach, I also get coached.
Oh, of course. Like it would be weird to not be coached, right? Because then it's like, but who's holding you accountable?
Right. And who's holding the space for me so that I can expand and grow and then hold that space for somebody else who I'm coaching.
Totally.
It's important to have those things set up in your life so that you can lean onto them and lean into them and, you know, be able to expand yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, like something that I'm really passionate about is like really getting that mindset around growth and what it means to grow. And that mindset that like I am practicing, you know, we give doctors a lot of credit for practicing medicine, right? And then when it comes to us, we're like, oh, we're supposed to have it all figured out. No.
Yeah.
No, I'm like 2 years and 14 days into this. I do not have it all figured out. And it's one of those things where it's like when you say, what you just said feels like the exact slide that I have in my masterclass of like emotions. I'm like, that is incredible, right? Because it's like, that is like the community. That is like doing the work, getting information, seeing what feels good and going, okay, Like, this is what I need. This is what feels good for me. And what feels good for you may not feel good for one of our listeners, right? They can go, oh, you know what? I really, really like that step. And that's
so this is, yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go.
And that's where really understanding oneself and honoring yourself and knowing your emotions, start to label those emotions, yes. Talk about these emotions with your kids, because yes. We certainly were not, many of us were not taught that emotional resilience or that emotional education. Having those conversations. So even if I do get upset, just like I said, when I had the other day, when something came up in our family, I said, I'm getting frustrated. Mm-hmm. This is what frustration looks like.
Yeah.
So, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, I can sit in this for a bit if I want, if I feel like that's going to serve me. And if I want to evolve, then what can I do to navigate around?
Mm-hmm. And so what I think is important too is remembering those three kind of, like, so this is what's really been helpful for me. Remembering that there's like these three layers, and I always kind of talk about it in like a cake. You know, when you're baking a cake, you've got all the ingredients and then you bake the cake and then you could layer it, right? And typically we see three layers. So it's like, yeah, the presenting problem, like what is the potential semi-conscious problem that we're probably aware of? And then the unconscious problem, you know, so for me working with the unconscious mind, it's like there is something feeding into that presenting problem. So what I would want to kind of expand and have a conversation around is what we're talking about is like that unconscious behavior zooming up into the conscious awareness. Like for you to say, I am frustrated and I don't know what to do about this right now. That is you owning that, like, that's something that's happening for you. You use the word triggered. I like to use the word activated. Like, something's being activated in you. And that's where we get a choice to say, I am going to, like, grow through this, or I'm going to be really fixed and rigid, which I then think that's where that pressure comes from, because there should be a right and a wrong way to figure this out. Yeah. Right? And I should be calm and I should be happy. But then... Yeah. So the only other thing that I was going to say is that when we set ourselves up in that kind of a mindset, grace and forgiveness and that self-compassion, it actually can grow in that space.
Yes. Know? Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the things that came to mind when you were talking is this idea of comparing as well, just mm-hmm. like, you know, and this should be, could be like, this is how, either comparing to how you were brought up, and this comes up often when, I don't know about you, but for when my parents are around, I love my parents very much, and they did a really great job. Anyone in that generation, they're first immigrants here, so anyone in that generation did not have space to really go through the work that we now are able to dive into.
Totally.
So, but their mindset is like, well, you know, this should happen and they shouldn't say that and blah, blah, blah. Like, I know and understand that. And I want to parent. I'm still navigating my parenting as well. Yeah. So, you know, and it's having that. You have to, I think one of the biggest things for me is literally believing in myself that this is completely possible for myself, meaning that even if I hear those doubtful conversations, or I have, you know, there's a hard day with whether there's a dynamic in the family or my kids or whatever, I can just have that quiet time to myself to say, I know that this is possible, and I believe that I can. This is going to happen. And I trust that it's going to happen. Mm. That's another big thing for me, is having that. There was always a very like type A, just make things happen and just, you know, and operate like this. And this is exactly how you achieve and blah, blah, blah. And that doesn't always work with, especially gladiator kid. It does not work with a gladiator kid. Mm-mm. And to your point, we're more and more, we're seeing these types of very strong willed, very persistent children and teens for sure, mm-hmm. who are giving us an opportunity to see what else is possible. And I had to make some shifts for my sanity and for the well-being of us as a family.
So I'm sure, so thank you for saying that. I'm sure at the time when you were going, before you became aware of all of the stuff that you do now, having a strong-willed child, I'm sure, did you describe her that way from the very beginning?
So there were other words that I had to use. Strong-willed, stubborn. I would read things, and what I was told was that behavior was like oppositional, defiant, disorder. And I was like, this is why is it someone's who, you know, who's strong-willed and very persistent, why is it that they're opposite? Why do they have a disorder? This opposition.
Yeah, that word in general, why is that applied?
Yeah, like, well, I don't understand. Like, and this is something that we value in, you know, entrepreneurs and people who are go-getters, but at a young age, it's frowned upon, and you know, we want them to just listen and do exactly this and that so that we can parent exactly as we want. And that still works for a lot of people.
Yeah. And if it doesn't, there's another way, right? There is another way.
Yes, exactly. And that literally was just really I had no choice, because my daughter was is a gladiator, which is a term that coined by Jennifer Colary, which is why I love that term, because it really gives the essence of that spirit of, you know, spirited child, like that strong-willed and, you know, just wants to do whatever. But at the same time, what I love about Jennifer Colary's work in connected parenting is we still have to recognize that we literally are the frontal lobe for our kids. The frontal lobe is not fully developed until age 25, sometimes 35. Mm-hmm. Yes. There's that balance of acknowledging and being that security for that child, but being agile in terms of how to parent them so that you can still honor them and yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you brought that up too, because earlier you had mentioned emotional education and emotional resilience. And I think that, like we didn't learn about emotions in an educational format at all. I think that's kind of also where the children are going. Guys, we need to, you know, learn this and we need to learn it at a younger age. Whenever it's possible. And I think emotional resilience is that something that we can strive for, and how we can build those tools within the child, within ourselves, you know, teaching ourselves at the same time as we're teaching and modeling to our children. And, you know, emotional resilience says, like, I get that this is, you know, where you're at right now, and it is not safe to do what you want to go and do right now. It's like seeing the child, hearing the child, and then, and I also have boundaries with you because you need me to manage that frontal lobe. That's what I'm hired for at this point.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you hired me for.
Yeah.
absolutely. And I think kids need that sense of security from us, 100%. And we really need to meet them where they're at.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And acknowledge their emotions, which can be really hard for a lot of parents, because again, it wasn't acknowledged for us. So that's real, you know, and you know, on a part of what my journey has been, this whole idea of anger, that I get angry.
Mm-hmm.
More like not as much anymore, obviously, because I'm on this journey. But that was a huge thing for me. It was always seen as a shameful thing, like, you know, you shouldn't be angry, or you know, it means you have no control over your yourself, or whatever the case may be. But you know, I grew up with a lot of that as well. So how do I navigate it?
Then
I've been on this journey of how do I accept, and this again goes back to one of my pillars, my focus is just accepting that this is what's so. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be angry, even when I am upset, when I'm trying to, when we're trying to get out the door, for example, and all the stuff is going on in my head about rude, disrespectful, blah, blah, blah. We should be there. We're going to be late here, blah, blah, blah. And just separating. And like I said, just noticing those and acknowledging, again, acknowledging what's happening in my body, that I'm starting to get angry and I can feel it literally in my body, in my bones. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that is important to start doing, and I've started to do this as well, is practicing those moments and getting a different result. So what I mean by that is sometimes in the heated moment, stuff happens and, you know, you do have to, you lose it or whatever. And like I said, you either get shameful and guilty about it, or you can learn from that experience. Mm-hmm. So great. I want to learn from that experience. It didn't go well. One of the ways to practice that is literally put yourself back into that mentality in that moment. Notice your thoughts. You're practicing this, right? Mm-hmm. Noticing that. Notice the emotions that are starting to happen and replay the outcome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is so, like, and I know you know this stuff for NLP and like what you like, you're literally rewiring your brain, yourself. Mm-hmm. and this is the part where you have to have that forgiveness for yourself, because for me, I've been operating a certain way for, you know, 40 years. Yeah. And in some ways it served me, in many ways actually totally. It served me.
Yeah.
But now it's not anymore. Yeah. So how do I shift this, and how do I do it in a way that it shows my kids to do it as well? Because I'm teaching them as I'm learning.
Yes. Yep. And I think that's where the grace comes from. I think that is like what our responsibility is like, I am not perfect and I am going to figure this out with you. And, you know, I feel like we're almost in we're in a pandemic. I know that. But emotionally, I think we're in a loneliness pandemic. I think that, you know, so many of us have the ability to be connected to anyone, anywhere. And yet at the same time, are feeling so alone. And so some parts of me wonder, you know, are we feeling alone in how we understand emotions? Are we feeling alone about what emotions mean and how that might, I always say that our emotions don't define us. They are just dictating what we need. And when we have that perspective, it's like, yes, I do get to be angry and I don't need to know why. And I don't, well, sometimes you need to know why, so you can do differently. Yeah. But the meaning behind the anger doesn't mean that you're a bad person, and it doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. It means that what's happening in that moment is causing you friction because you actually want something too.
Yeah.
And it's okay to want things. And I, a lot of conversations I'm having lately, you mentioned your daughter as a gladiator child, but before you kind of became aware of that language, would identify her as, you know, the stubborn. And I think that's important for people who are starting out on this journey. Like, what are these labels and what do they mean? Because labels are very powerful. However, they keep us in a box after so long. And I think it's important to utilize that label and then dismantle it and really figure out what it means for that individual. You know, all my life growing up, I have been labeled dramatic, super, but then passionate, but like really dramatic and really intense. And then those qualities have actually allowed me to be how the success or the connection. And when I say success, I mean like the people I meet always say to me, oh my God, I love your energy. Mm-hmm. But years before that was, you're so dramatic and you need to cool it. And it's interesting on these words. So then, you know, me too, I have a daughter who is very, very clear about what she wants, right? And so it's managing and harmonizing between what she wants, that space to choose, and then also saying like, no. Like I get to say no.
Yeah, it's totally about honoring her, honoring yourself, and having the boundaries to do both.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And knowing that you are, pardon?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, knowing that you are literally part of the brain for the first little while. Exactly.
Yes.
When you think about it this way, it's kind of like, okay. So, but you know, be careful if you think about that you're their frontal lobe, you also have to be aware that doesn't mean you get to dictate their frontal lobe. That's you get right. to encourage. Yeah, you get to encourage that executive functioning and how, you know, how to understand their emotions so that when they do, as they're developing, it's developing in a way that's evolved way more than yours, hopefully. Right?
Yeah, and that's kind of, I would say, in having conversations and reading up with Jennifer's work as well, the pressure came off. It was like, okay, like, you know, because sometimes we can get caught up in like, what's my gut saying and what's my head saying and what should I do and what, you know, what does everybody else want me to do? And I think that that takes us so out of our bodies, right? And when we're out of our bodies, then we're not present. We're not present to what that child needs in front of us. But I think it also takes a lot of grace and work on ourselves, which is where I'm bringing us back to, you know, this journey of helping your child turn into that journey of really, you know, finding yourself and those pieces. It's like to be present in my body is going to require me to get to know myself and do a resolving work or healing work and that deep dive work and knowing that that's okay. And also knowing that like I get to be present and I get to tune in. Like I kind of see it as like a heart code. Like when I'm present and I'm in that moment with my daughter, I can be present with her heart and I can create that space. And then I can also say, you know what, like, yeah, that like, here's where the limits are. And I'm cool with everything else at that point.
Yeah.
And it's a practice. I am like definitely still practicing. She's two. Like, right? Like
it's good still to notice those things. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's good to notice that, that you want to bridge the gap between the parenting, the two different parenting paradigms. Because for me, that was a huge, like I wanted to be this conscious parenting and blah, blah, blah. But I was so struggling. I wasn't sure how to get there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have found ways to continue along that. And yeah, like you said this before, everybody has different ways and different, a different journey.
Yeah.
But these are just like, I'm sharing my journey because like, if it resonates with you at all, then use some of that. And I'm here to help because really I get it. I get like struggling. You think that you're completely all alone, that you did something wrong, that you're not raising this child properly, blah, 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 blah. And the weight is just on you. So there's this opportunity to break free, have some freedom within a container that is flexible, that is like, that moves. It's just like this, it's ever evolving, which is why it's important to notice, like, you know, these things, how I was 2 years ago is not how I was 2 months ago is not even how I am today. You're constantly growing and that's okay too.
Yeah. And the grace around that too. Like just because I did it a certain way 2 weeks ago doesn't mean that I'm not okay with that or that I can't change my mind. Cause I think there's this level of like reflection that is needed. And that is such an important part of the journey. And I think too, like you said, like if this resonates, it's like, trust that that's your gut and trust that there's something trying to get your attention because there is a different way. And, you know, maybe it will be this way. Maybe it will be another way, but I just think like that journey, you know, each and every one of those steps is going to give us something, some level of awareness, some level of peace. And I do think that it's possible, especially now.
Yeah, this has really been an opportunity or a test or a, however you want to look at it, a moment in time where we can, you know, a lot of people are worried about academics and how are their kids going to do in school and blah, blah, blah. And I, you know, yes, that is important. Mm-hmm. Depending on the age of your kid and it really depends on the age of your child. But I'll be honest with you, like we said before, most schools don't even teach social emotional learning. So this is a prime opportunity to look at those things. Like look at, you know, to me, it was way more important about teaching my kids how to be in conflict. Like when they're in conflict with each other, okay, this is how you can communicate with each other. Mm-hmm. Okay, yelling doesn't help. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, do you notice that yelling helps? Have you noticed that she gave it you know, she shared with you because you yelled or because you, right. you were able, you know, it's like spending the time in that way has been way more important for us this time than doing the academics and sitting down and because I've always said this, like, if you are not, well, this is true for everybody. If you are in a state where you're just so fragmented or you're not present, you're not going to really learn anything anyway. So it's like, you know, you might as well get yourself to a point where you're neutral, like you're in, you're stable, neutral. You're able to take things in and learn and understand. And you know, there's so many kids at school who are thinking about what happened this in the morning, or wondering what who they're going to play with at school at recess, or but like all of that is happening. So if we can try to help our kids navigate through some of that and notice their thoughts, notice it, and then get back to what's happening right now in the present.
Yeah, I agree. I was just thinking too, imagine like the extracurriculars were like how to love yourself and how to talk to yourself, like along with, you know, the sports and the dance and the cheer and, you know, all the things that are like incredibly important. Imagine there was a space for that to happen too. And I do see it in areas in especially in my community. I do see that happening. And I'm really excited about it for sure. So you have a book coming out. So yeah, why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's a compilation book. So it's called Ignite Love. And I share my story about my journey and unconditional love as a parent. And really accepting all that you're, this is my motto, accepting all that you are while you're evolving to all that you can be. Mm. That is a way to just, you know, live, the possible way to live your life.
Yes. Yes. That is beautiful. I think that's going to be the title of this podcast.
There you go. Yeah. I found, and literally because this is how everything else in my life has been, how do I fix? How do I get better? How do I achieve this? Mm. And now it's just kind of like, okay, accept as it is. And yeah, it doesn't mean you can't have goals, but it can mean that you're totally, if everything were to end today, I'm totally good with it. And I'd like to continue on evolving.
It's that surrendering. It's a total surrendering piece. Moving forward and surrendering and being open and finding that rhythm with the universe or with that higher self and, you know, telling the ego to thank you and bye. Yeah. you mentioned Eckhart Tolle. So I'm like, yeah, I know we're speaking the same language. But yeah, so we'll put the link to the book below for sure. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And if our listeners are new here, we did record a previous episode in season one that I would absolutely encourage our listeners to go and check out as well. And we're just going to have you back all the time.
Yeah.
I just love, I'm like, I've got a call, but I'm like, I'm sure you and I could just keep on talking. And that's what I love about you. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll definitely have you back on. And I will say to our listeners, if you have any questions or comments or feedback, please make sure to reach out to us. I'll tag both of us in the show notes. And yeah, I just think that questions are so important because that's how we learn. And there's no silly question, and there's no you know, there's nothing that cannot not be asked, because I think that that's where we learn and that's where we grow. And I will say for myself, I am totally open to having those conversations for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you're open to it, I can share my four pillars of focus and I can give that to you, your listeners.
Yes. Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. A little cheat sheet for them to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. So we'll put that in there as well. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And I can't wait to have you back. Thanks, Liz.
Thank you so much for listening. I want to hear from you. What did you love about today's podcast? What are you feeling inspired to do differently? Find us on Facebook at Redefining Motherhood and tell us all about it. You can also follow along on Instagram at the Nicole Weston. Here's the thing, we were never meant to do this alone, and it is time to redefine motherhood and live it on our terms. I believe we can have it all, And I believe in order to do that, we've got to do it differently. Follow along and let us know. Be sure to subscribe. We drop a new episode every Wednesday.